Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Surprise, Knife Junkies. It's Jim the Knife Newbie Person along with Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco, and we are here midweek on the Knife Junkie Podcast. Bob, what's going on here, man? We're throwing things up in the air, throwing things for a loop. You know, what are we doing,
Jim,
here?
I think it's our own desire to hear our own voices, really.
Your desire, not mine.
Yeah.
Well, we have these great interviews that we release, and in an effort to not cut them short due to other things we want to do on the show, we decided to break out some of the segments we like to do. You know, we talk about knife news or, you know, for a while there, I was doing a little historical pieces on knives or maintenance tips and that kind of thing. And those kind of drifted away once we started doing these nice long interviews. And I'm still interested in doing that. You're still interested in doing that. So we decided we'd break out and do a little 20 to 30 minute show every week to just get that stuff out of the way and then have the interview show just be about the interview.
Well, not get that stuff out of the way. I don't want you to just toss it off like that. I mean, some pretty important stuff we're going to be talking about. So it's not just going to be you and us rambling on.
Yeah, I know. we're being humble now. Yeah, this is important stuff.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's the purpose of this additional podcast, if you will. It's still the Knife Junkie Podcast. It's just another episode. You'll find it in your podcast feed or podcast app, player, whatever you like to listen to. Without having to do anything, it'll just show up Wednesday nights, Thursday mornings, kind of depending on your feed. But you can also find it just by going to theknifejunkie.com. You'll find all of the podcasts there, as well as the videos, newsletter subscriptions, other kind of stuff on theknifejunkie.com website, so you can listen there. So, Bob, I know the segments, one of the ones I really love that we used to do was the first tool, where you kind of talked about some of that historical aspects. And I remember one, the Bowie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. And that tied into the K-bar. You know, we just talk about these historical strains. Today, I'm going to be talking about the Navaja, but I guess we'll do that after we talk about some of the knife news, huh?
Yeah, we're going to have one of our segments that we used to do or still do all the do, but now we're going to do some more of it, knife life news, if you will, where we talk about what's happening in the knife world.
Yep.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
So, Jim, CRKT is coming out with another one of their high-end limited offers. You know, they came out with the Shock recently, spelled XOC by Flavio Okoma, and it was featuring the new deadbolt lock. And it's this giant, super, super heavy duty built titanium knife. And it was coming out for $750, which is a new price range for CRKT. And they're coming out with a new one called the Panache. And that's by Ken Onion. And we know Ken Onion. We all know Ken Onion. He's designed a bunch of iconic knives for a bunch of different makers, chief among them CRKT and Kershaw. But this new CRKT Panache doesn't look like a Ken Onion. We know Ken Onion for his organic curvy lines, his recurve blades, his handles that look ergonomic. You know, they feel comfortable just looking at them. But he's kind of stepping out of his comfort zone here. Maybe I shouldn't say that. He's probably incredibly comfortable looking at this knife. It's actually beautiful, but he's designed this Panache in a different sort of design language. It's much more angular and sort of business looking. You know, it's very kind of aggressive looking, but also those curvy lines have turned into angles and straight lines for the Panache. Now, this is going to be a frame lock with carbon fiber inserts and 20 CTX XHP steel. I always have a hard time saying that.
Well, who doesn't?
And it's going to be about 6 ounces. It's got a fold over clip. It is a luxury knife, but it's also a hard use knife. Mm-hmm. And like I said, just unique for Ken Onion. Now, they're only making 550 of these things, and it's coming out for a much more reasonable $295. And I say much more reasonable because $750 for the Shock seemed almost an alienating price. You know, it's right. Like It's like you go from $40 knives to a $750 knife in one fell swoop. It kind of seemed like a little extreme. But this limited edition to, you know, limited to 550 panache for $295 for Ken Onion seems more reasonable, especially with the materials they're using.
You already got your name on the list?
No, but I wouldn't mind. It is a beautiful knife. Right. I'm always a little bit behind the eight ball, you know, with news. So I'm sure there are guys out there who've been on the list for years.
You know, you do have a new knife coming in that will spill the beans on a little bit later. So, yeah.
Yes, I do.
Let's continue the budget knife news, if you will. Some stuff with Artisan going on you wanted to mention.
Yeah, okay. So Artisan Cutlery. Jim, you remember them from the review I did about their kinetic tool.
That's right.
The butterfly or the Bally Song / switchblade. And instead of a live sharp blade, it's got a multi-tool, you know, with a prior and a cap lifter and little socket cutouts. Well, Artisan, okay, so that was my first Artisan knife, and the quality of that knife really sold me on the brand. And to me, it immediately raised them up to the level of the Kaiser and the Wee knives from China. Well, Artisan has decided to follow suit with Kaiser and Wee and come out with their own sort of budget line with D2 steel blades and G10, much like Kaiser came out with Tangram. And, you know, they have the budget Kaisers through Tangram. Mm-hmm. And Wee came out with Civivi. And lots of D2, lots of G10. But really, the focus is the design and the fit and finish and the action. And so Artisan Cutlery came out with their CJRB brand. Doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but CJRB is the Artisan Cutlery's new budget line. And just from what I've seen, and I've seen a few reviews online too, they look amazing. One of them I really dig, called the Tala. It's got this menacing and gorgeous sort of Warncliffe blade. And I think I'm going to have to pick one of those up just to see.
Got to do it.
In the name of science or
well
whatever.
You know, do a knife review on the show. Who knows? There's a multitude of reasons, Mrs. Yeah. Knife Junkie, if you're listening.
I think justifications is the correct word.
That's right.
I'm definitely going to check these out, because if the kinetic tool is any indication of the quality of Artisan Cutlery, I have a feeling these CJRBs are going to be killer.
Yeah.
And I think it's exciting. I like to see knife companies competing with one another on similar grounds, you know. Artisan probably figures that not everybody has $200 to drop on one of their knives, so why not offer the same quality, the same, you know, beautiful designs, across the spectrum so everyone can enjoy them. I think it's a smart move.
A little bit of lighter news we wanted to mention that time of year again, Halloween coming up. When you think Halloween, not only trick-or-treating, candy, costumes, but you think pumpkins. And when you think pumpkins, you either think first pumpkin pie, which is where my mind goes to, but also pumpkin carvings and a lot of pumpkin carving contest. And Emerson Knives is no different. It's the time for their, I don't know if it's annual, but it seems like Emerson Knives pumpkin carving contest. Yeah. A couple of rules that you got to follow. The pumpkin's got to be hand carved. I mean, come on, who would try to, you know, cheat that
laser
rule.
Engrave it.
Right. The design must be Emerson themed or inspired. The pumpkin must be real. Anyway, they're going to be doing the contest on Instagram. You can get all the details. If you want to find out about the Emerson Knife Pumpkin Carving Contest, just go to thenifejunkie.com/pumpkin, and you can find all the details there about how to participate in the pumpkin carving contest. You gonna take part, Bob?
Well, maybe. But what I was gonna suggest is that, you know, it's always last minute carving the pumpkins at this house, so I don't know if I'm gonna have time to carve one for Mr. Emerson. But I'm thinking about what knife you would use to carve these pumpkins. And I'm guessing the carnivore might be the way to go, because I think the carnivore, their new steak-themed knife, might have a thin enough blade to easily carve a pumpkin. Some of my Emersons wouldn't be so great at the job. For instance, a CQC7 would probably not be the best knife to carve a pumpkin. But that carnivore, it looks like it could do quick work to a pumpkin.
Well, you know, a couple of weeks till Halloween, still time to get your pumpkin carved. So still time for you to suggest to Bob what knife he should use to carve his pumpkin. So call us on the listener line at 724-466-4487. Give Bob a suggestion about what knife he should use to carve his pumpkin, either for the contest or just for the kids at home.
And if you do that, then I'm going to have to carve the pumpkin.
Hey, there we go. Mic drop right there, man. Get those suggestions in. I want to see a video of Bob carving a pumpkin. Hey, I was going to say serious news, but a little bit more news to kind of wrap up Knife Life news, Bob. This is an interesting one. The Church of England demands blunt kitchen knives. Didn't know if you were still there. That's just a lot to take in.
That's all I got to say. Oh, my God, people. Really. Every time I think that this has become a nation of pearl clutchers, all you got to do is look over at Great Britain, and they're always ahead of us in terms of just idiotic laws about knives. Right. I understand they have a lot of knife crime in London. I'm certainly not
demeaning that.
I'm not trying to demean that, but okay. All right, so you can't have a knife with a point. So now every criminal is going to have to slash with it, okay? They're going to have to slash instead of stab, okay? Or use a hammer. To me, Jim, this just makes me upset. And you know, I guess you got to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. But right. This is going to tie into my...
Navaja?
Yeah, the Navaja talk, because...
Coming up in a little bit, yeah. We'll get to that.
Because there are two main lessons you can learn about people through studying, looking at the Navaja. So I'll get to that.
We'll get to that. I found an interesting quote here, and we're getting this information from kniferights.org. Our friend Doug Ritter over there, this story on kniferights.org. It says the Church of England bishops say that redesigning domestic kitchen knives to give them rounded ends would combat so-called, quote here, knife crime by making, quote, life-threatening injuries far less likely. Also, a side note, the Thames Valley, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Thames Valley. Okay, well, there you go. Even though it's spelled T-H-A-M-E-S.
Right.
Anyway, they will no longer post photos of seized knives on social media to, quote, help reduce the fear of knives and knife carrying in our local communities. So maybe good or bad, I'm not sure.
That's bologna sausage. I'm not going to say what I really think, but that is just such crap. There you have it.
If you want to read more about that story, you can go to kniferights.org or just follow the latest news just by going to thenifejunkie.com/news. We have a feed of multiple news sources we're pulling together right on our webpage, thenifejunkie.com/news, and you can keep up with the latest news and information right there on thenifejunkie.com website.
You know you're a knife junkie if you love your knives more than your spouse.
So, Bob. You teased it a moment ago, the Navaja, and it kind of relates to the Church of England story, but you kind of wanted to talk about the Navaja a little bit.
So the Navaja, you know it. It's a giant, usually a very large folding knife from Spain. Usually has a clip-pointed blade. Looks something like a big folding bowie, usually. So the Navaja is a knife that was born out of weapons restrictions, really. I mean, it was at first... just a folding knife. One of the earliest folding knives found was in Spain. And I know they had them perhaps from the Roman era, but in 17th century Spain, the Navaja became popular. Now, first it was a folding knife used by craftsmen and workers or even clerics to sharpen quills, but just a knife that you could fold and put in your pocket. And eventually... there were restrictions laid down on the carrying of swords and other edged weapons to only the nobility. Gee, imagine that. Only the nobility can carry weapons. Sounds familiar, huh? So people started saying, well, I still have to protect my family and I still have use for a knife. So they started focusing more on the Navaja in terms of making it larger and making it more useful for a multitude of tasks, not just carpentry and sharpening quills. And then when spring steel was the advent of spring steel in Spain, and they saw that you could temper steel in such a way that it can bend and then spring back, they started to build on locking springs onto the back of the knife. So at the base of the blade where the tang is, they engineered in some teeth, and those teeth ratcheted on a plate of spring steel on the back of the knife, giving it kind of a clicking sound when it opened. Mm-hmm. And once it's fully open, then it's locked open. And so this was the first folding locking knife that we know of.
Interesting.
And with that lock, it turned something that was just a tool into also a weapon, because now you can thrust with it without worry of it folding onto your hands because it locks. So now no one can carry swords. They have this new knife that locks open. So what do? They turn it into a big folding sword. And if you look at Cold Steel, they make the Espada series. And that is a direct influence from the Navaja, large folding sword, large folding knife / small folding sword that you can stash on your person. Incidentally, those Cold Steels, especially the largest one, look a lot like the traditional Navajas, especially in the blade. But people started adopting this large locking knife that they could hide in their cummerbunds or you know, on their person. And they were even used by the guerrillas who were resisting Napoleon's occupation at 1804 to 1814. And then a ring was added, and the ring on the back of the lock makes it easier to open and close. Mm. Well, especially to close, but you can also pull open that ring and swing the blade open if you're apt. So knife fighting schools started popping up, but of course they had to be underground because you weren't supposed to be carrying these things and you weren't supposed to be using them for fighting. And, you know, naturally, they were also adopted by thugs and brigands and criminals, you know, as most good weapons are. And this leads me to my lesson the two lessons that you can glean from the evolution of the Navaja, from a simple folding working man's knife to a large folding locking weapon. And that is, one, people will always come up with ways to defend themselves and defend their families, whether or not it's legal.
True.
And then the inverse of that, criminals will always find weapons to commit their crimes with, whether or not there's a law on the books against it, because they are what?
They're criminals.
They don't care about what?
The laws. Right.
And you can just look at today and you see the same fight happening today here in this country, and obviously over in Great Britain, where they're already disarmed people over there, sadly to say. And who's committing all this knife crime in London? Is it law-abiding citizens who are following the law? No, it's criminals and scumbags who find the knives, get the knives illegally. They don't care about the law.
Right.
So all you're doing by making these blunted kitchen knives is making it harder to cook for good people.
Right.
It's kind of infuriating.
Well, criminals will find a weapon even if it's not a weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, that they'll use whatever. So
exactly. Yeah. Box cutters. You can no longer, now you have to use your keys to open up boxes. I mean, what are they going to do? How far are they going to go? They're going to illegalize obsidian? I mean, because that's where we're headed. We're going to all be chipping our own obsidian knives out.
Right.
One more thing before I close. This is just a close on the Navaja. This is just a cool little bit of trivia. There was also a knife in Andalusia, I believe, called the Salva Virgo. And my wife speaks Spanish, and it means basically save virginity, Salva Virgo. And it was a small Navaja that was used by the Andalusian women, stashed in their bodice or in their garter, you know, so in case someone gets fresh with them, they could pull out that little Navaja and do some slicing.
Might be leaving less an appendage or two.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I bet they didn't blunt the tips of those.
I bet not. All right. Enough of the Navaja. That's kind of one of the things we're trying to, be able to accomplish here on the additional Knife Junkie podcast show is give Bob a chance to talk about a specific knife, do a knife review, also maybe talk about a new knife that he's gotten in the past week, and maybe in the next week or so we'll have a new knife for you to talk about, maybe?
I will, and I'm not going to say who made it, but one of our guests from the show has made me a knife, and he sent me a picture, or not a picture, a video through Instagram, and it is fantastically gorgeous and utterly menacing and just cannot wait.
All right, well,
and I'm gonna carry it too. I'm not gonna, you know, in speaking with Alex from Alex's Knife Box this past week, I told him what was coming, and I said, I don't know if I can bring myself to carry it without also carrying a shotgun to protect it. And he said, no, man, you got to carry it. Life is short. You're not getting this thing to hang on the wall. Carry it. And if you jack it up, you know, most makers are happy to take it back and fix it for you and, get it back on the road, so to speak. So I will be carrying this thing.
All right. I look forward to that. We'll definitely talk about that on the podcast. You'll see a video of that on the Knife Junkie's YouTube channel that you can find at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. If you're not yet subscribed to the Knife Junkie YouTube channel, what are you waiting for? Go to theknifejunkie.com/YT subscribe. That way you'll catch all of Bob's videos when they come out. Be sure to hit that little bell icon so you'll get a notification as well and you don't miss anything there. And Bob talked about Alex from Alex's Knife Box. That was episode 50. So if you hadn't heard that one yet, this past Sunday. Go back and listen to theknifejunkie.com/50. Talk about your new knives. You know, the knife newbie, I'm trying, man. I'm bidding on some online knives. We'll see what happens. So if I get one or more of those, we'll talk about that. But speaking of knives, buying, selling, we've added a new page to the website, theknifejunkie.com/knives. As the Knife Junkie decides to sell off some of his knives, or because of our partnership arrangement with several knife companies and affiliate relationships, we have certain knives featured on that page there, limited supply, different kind of things like that. So you can find kind of knives to buy if you're interested on the knifejunkie.com/knives webpage.
Now, I just wanted to mention that Jim just will be receiving his very first, I don't know, kind of insider knife item. Now, it's not a knife. It's a pen. One of our guests, Daryl Ralph of DDR Knives, was on the show. He was a great guy. We had a very, very interesting and engaging conversation, and I love his knives. Anyway, as a thank you, he didn't have to do this, but I'm so glad he did. He sent Jim and I pens. He makes pens also.
That's right.
And he sent us these beautiful copper pens that have been gorgeously and artistically patinaed, and they're solid, beautiful clickers, and they have this little a hoplite helmet kind of inscribed in it, and I'm touched by over and over. You know, the knife community just proves to be generous and genuine and cool as hell, and Mr. Ralph is no exception. He sent us these knives, and I said, he didn't have to, but I'm glad he did. It was such a pleasure having him on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Looked gorgeous. And thank you, Daryl. And if you didn't hear that interview, by the way, you can go to theknifejunkie.com/49, knifejunkie.com/49. That's the interview Bob had with custom knife maker Daryl Ralph of DDR Knives. Definitely.
DDR website and check out all of the beautiful knives, but also check out the beautiful pens.
Yeah,
and he's as you mentioned on the interview, he's about to start production on a bolt knife pen. And if you don't know what that is, it opens up kind of in the same way the bolt of a hunting rifle opens up, you know, like a bolt action rifle. So that should be cool too.
Well, I did want to mention that the new Knives 2020 book is out now, the 40th edition, I believe, of Knives book, Knives 2020. You can find that at theknifejunkie.com/knives2020, knifejunkie.com/knives2020. The 40th edition has the most elite crop of knives and makers that the world of blades has to offer. The book showcases blades of every class, every style. And Bob, what I find impressive is there's more than 800 full color images in the book, along with descriptions of the makers who created them. So just a fantastic resource there.
Jim, over the years, I can't tell you how many times I've ducked out of work, not in my current job,
right.
But have gone to Barnes & Noble or Borders back when it existed and have gone straight to that book and just sort of stood there in the aisle.
Mesmerized.
Just drooling on this book that I'm not buying.
40th edition of Knives 2020 book. Again, you can find it at theknifejunkie.com/knives2020. And Bob, as we kind of wrap up, one of the other things we wanted to do on the show, we you know, for a while there with the main show we have, we would interview folks about knife shows coming up, and we'd promote knife shows. And, you know, again, as we talked about at the beginning, it was kind of a struggle. You know, this great interview, we didn't want to cut it off, but we also wanted to cover some of these other things. here on this, you know, number two episode, if you will, or number two show of the Knife Junkie podcast, we want to try to talk about shows, but also, you know, encourage our listeners to submit their shows for publicity on the Knife Junkie webpage. And one of the upcoming shows that we're unfortunately not going to be able to get to, but we're, you know, we're working on going to the Blade Show East, but the second annual Blade Show West is coming up in Portland, Oregon, November 1 through 3. That's going to be at the Oregon Convention Center. You can find details and tickets there on bladeshowwest.com. And if you have a show you want to submit to thenifejunkie.com/calendar, go to thenifejunkie.com/submit. And if you want to find a list of shows that we have in our database, go to thenifejunkie.com/calendar. So a lot of good knife shows always, more than you and I could even hope to attend.
Yeah, I just want to attend one. So coming up.
Plans are in the works.
Yep. There's SHOT Show coming up. And then, of course, in June, I've already let my employer know I will not be around the first weekend of June.
All right. There you heard it, the Knife Junkie. We'll look forward to meeting you there. All right, Bob, final thoughts. First episode here of the second podcast, if you will.
Well, I'm glad we're doing this because when we were trying to fit this stuff in before and after the interviews, I found myself censoring myself. So now I can just kind of talk ad nauseum.
I can't wait.
No, I'm just happy that we're giving ourselves the opportunity to open it up a little bit and talk about some of the other things that are going on and that some of the other things I'm thinking about.
Well, and again, the interviews will be mostly on the shows that we release on Sunday nights. You may find them Sundays or Mondays in your podcast feed. But Bob, I do want to mention or let you mention a couple of the upcoming guests that you have coming up on the interview shows, because what I would like to ask our listeners is if they have any particular questions or if they have something they want to know about a particular guest that you're going to be interviewing and talking with, if they would call the listener line, that's thenifejunkie.com/listener line at 724-466-4487, or shoot Bob an email at bob@thenifejunkie.com. If there's a specific question you would like him to ask one of these upcoming guests, please let us know, and we'll make sure your question is asked.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Spartan Blades coming up. We're going to be talking to Ron Kazakowski of Traditional Filipino Weapons. We're going to be speaking with Michael O'Makaliri, and he's a very interesting dude who he's a knife maker from Ohio who was featured on a 60 Minutes episode when DHL closed down their Ohio plant in 2008, their distribution center, I should say. And he was working there, and 60 Minutes did a profile on him and mentioned his knife making. And ever since that episode, his career has taken off. So we're going to talk to him. Yeah, we got a bunch of great guests coming up.
So again, if you have specific questions for any of those guests, please call the listener line, 724-466-4487. Let us know your specific question. And please, if you're a knife maker, a knife purveyor, a manufacturer, if you're involved in the knife industry, you want to mention your website or whatever, please do that, man. When we ask your question, we'll make sure we give you credit and publicity for your site, et cetera, as well. So we want to get everybody involved here on the Knife Junkie Podcast.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Bob, final words as we're wrapping up.
Keep them sharp.
Short and sweet and to the point.
There we go. I'm getting the tip.
Thanks for listening, everybody, to show number two of the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, thenifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on thenifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at thenifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@thenifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.